Good morning, my dear family of God, and to everyone at the sound of my voice. I greet you in the name that is above all name. The name is Jesus. Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, our Master, and our friend, he is our Lord. Before we look into the word, shall we look to the Lord in a word of prayer? Our Father and God in heaven, we again thank you for this day that you have made. We thank you, God, for bringing us here in our right mind. We thank you for salvation, saving us by sovereign grace. We pray now, God, as your word about to go forth. We pray, Father and God, that you give your servants, Lord, help from thyself to the Spirit of God. We pray, O God, for those who is listening. You may give them, O God, a heart of reception. That those who does not know you, Lord God and Father, whether from the phone and Zoom, wherever they may be, Lord, that I may trust in you as Savior and Lord. We ask these mercies in Jesus' precious name. Shall we turn our Bible to, I think it's a very known portion. In the book of Zechariah, the prophet Zechariah, read like this, Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughters of Jerusalem. Behold the Lord, behold the King cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon a donkey, and upon the colt of a donkey. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nation, and his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from river even to the end of the earth. This is the reading of the word of God. This is God's word to the prophet Zechariah to prophesy to the nation. And Zechariah did as the Lord told him. Today is Palm Sunday, as we all know. And Christian worshipers around the world, they celebrate the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem as he rides on the back of a colt. But on the Jewish calendar is also the first day of Passover. Passover commemorates God's faithfulness to his promise in delivering his people from bondage, setting them free after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. On that exact day, God delivered his people. God kept his promise. If you want to see reference from this, you go to Genesis chapter 15, verse 13 and 14. God keep his promise on that exact day. Passover was also pointing to the Lamb of God, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the only Savior worthy to sacrifice himself for the sin of the world. Passover was the tenth and the final plague of death, death to the firstborn male in Egypt that caused Pharaoh to let God's people go. I said, God have ways in doing his things. God have ways in doing things. And God is going to keep his promise. Whatever it takes him to keep his promise. Even if it takes this pandemic, this worldwide pandemic, that the gospel should go forth to the end of the earth. I say God have his ways in doing things, and he's going to do it his ways, and no one can stop God. God is going to keep his promise. He's going to keep his promise forever. But my question, what is the most important passage in this chapter, Exodus, from Exodus 12, verse 12. Jehovah, can you put Exodus 12, verse 12 and 13 on the board for me? From Exodus 12, which I think is most important to me in this passage from Exodus. He says, for I will pass to the land of Egypt this night, and when I smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment, and I, the Lord, and when the blood shall be, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house, wherever you are. The word wherever you are, the blood shall be to you a token, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Praise the Lord. That is what I think is most important for me in this passage of the Passover. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. The blood shall be to you a token, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. If you do not get anything from this message this morning, I trust that you may leave here with the word that the blood shall be a token to you, and when you see the blood, when he see the blood, he's going to pass over you. That's his promise, and he's going to keep his promise. He kept his promise. And he's going to keep his promise. Amen? Amen. The blood shall be to you a token. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I say the plague of death will not come near you. Because why? Because the blood is applied. The plague of death would not come near you because the blood is applied. Praise the Lord. But what we're talking about today is not the Passover. We're talking about Palm Sunday. Today is Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday celebrates the very day that Jesus came into Jerusalem with all authority, riding on the back of a colt. The appointed, anointed Messiah, right? So the multitude, what they did, they spread palm branches on the street of Jerusalem, was welcoming King Jesus as the liberator, as the deliverer. That's what they was doing. They spread the palm branches. That's why you might see people today, they have a palm in their hand or a palm on the pocket. That's what they are celebrating. Celebrating Palm Sunday, welcoming Jesus as their deliverer. But some of us, or some people, do not recognize this Palm Sunday shall also think about the suffering Savior who shall go to the cross to die for their sin, for my sin and your sin. But there was rejoicing, celebrating him as their deliverer, because remember, they was under oppression under King Caesar. So they was hoping that he come to replace, to take the place of Caesar. So they was hailing him, King Jesus. And as they continue here, we see that they had slogan that they were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. That was the slogan, shouting. There was very happy and excited multitude of people. God's promise was he's going to keep his promise, whatever he said. We see these people were very happy, excited, welcoming Jesus to Jerusalem. God's promise was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah some 733 years before it fulfilled, right here in the book of Matthew 21, which we are talking about, which is known as the triumphant entry of Jesus Christ into Jerusalem. In Matthew chapter 21, we can turn to this passage. It's right. Matthew chapter 21, we talk about here, and we're going to see what verse 4 says. Verse 4 says, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell your daughters of Zion, behold, the king is coming unto thee, meek, sitting upon the ass, of the colt of a foal. And the disciples, they went and did just as they said. So you see, what the point here? He said, all this was done, all what was spoken by the same prophet Zechariah. Here, Matthew is saying, all what happened, it came to pass that it must be fulfilled. Am I telling you that God's word is going to fulfill? It's going to come to pass. And what happened? And the multitude that was with him, they begin to shout, as we saw in same Zechariah, the same thing that happened, we see that was fulfilled. They begin to shout, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, verse 10. And when they had come to Jerusalem, that the city, they all moved, saying, who is this? The question, who is this? Excited to see the one who is riding and the donkey. Who is this? And the multitude, they said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. They all know him from Nazareth, because it was written that he should, he would be a Nazarene. They all know about this man. So they come and shout, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth. But what happened? And Jesus went into the temple. You see what they just been shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King. But what happened here now? Jesus went into the temple of God, and what he did? He cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and he overthrew the tables of the money changers and set them and all those that sold them. That's what Jesus did when he came. And what he said? And he said unto them, it is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves, and a den of thieves. He came in the city. As Jesus came down from the donkey, begin to let them see who he is, he began his mission right away. And his mission, as he went into the temple to heal the sick, to do the work of God, he saw these people in the temple of God making merchandise out of his temple. So what Jesus did, he said to them, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you made it a den of thieves. Now, what would happen next? We will see in the later on that they all would turn against him. Now the high priest and the scribe who was making the money from out of the temple, what is going to happen now? They realize they would lose their income. So now, I think now about this time, they turn against Jesus. And as we continue, we said, and in verse 14, and the blind and the lame, they came to him in the temple. And when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful thing that he did, and the children that were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the king, they was not pleased. They was not pleased with what they was expecting from him, because they was expecting him to take the place of Caesar's. And now they see that he is doing great miracles, and his reputation is going back to Caesar, saying this man is a great man with great authority, great power. Wondering where he got his power from. And now, now we're going to see what will happen with him. Now they're going to say, away with him. Away with him. But yes, if we turn over to chapter 26, as Jesus continues his mission. In chapter 26, in verse 1 and 2, and it came to pass, when Jesus had finished all this saying, he said unto the disciples, you know that after 2 days is the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is going to be crucified. I told you that. After 2 days, he said, the Son of Man, he knew what was going to happen, but maybe they was not aware of it. So he explained to them, after 2 days, the Son of Man will be crucified. As we continue, he said, yes, they did crucify him. They killed him on the cross. They buried him in a tomb. But on the third day, Jesus rose again from the dead by the power of the resurrection. Praise the Lord. I said, on the third day, he rose again from the dead by the power of the resurrection. Revelation 1:18 says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell. Praise the Lord. I said, up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph from his first reign. He arose and he liveth forever, forevermore, forevermore. He live forevermore. Shall we just turn with me to Corinthians? We're going to do a couple of scriptures. Behold, I am alive forevermore. In Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3, he said, for I deliver unto you first of all that which I also receive, how that Christ died for our sin according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain even until this present. But some have fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, the apostle, and last of all, he was seen by me. That is what the Apostle Paul is saying. Paul here, what he's doing, he's defending, right? Paul has evidence to make his case in defending the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Many eyewitnesses, he says, and according to the scripture. Amen? There was many eyewitness. So he was able to defend the resurrection. Those who says that there was no resurrection, those who deny the resurrection of Jesus Christ, those who did not believe that Christ is risen, Paul had evidence, and he came with all the eyewitnesses who saw him face to face, who he could testify that they see him. He's not talking about people, I hear you say that, and I hear Tom, Dick, or Harry say that. But he called the names that saw Jesus Christ, who spoke to him. So he was able to defend the resurrection. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. The resurrection of Christ guarantees the hope and the foundation of the church. Amen? Verse 14 says, if Christ is not risen, our preaching is vain, our faith is vain, and even life is vain. Amen? That's what he brings to this conclusion. It doesn't make sense. If Christ is not risen, being here in church today does not make any sense. Would not make any sense. You could as well as go home and have party and do what you want. But Christ is risen. Christ is risen. That's our hope. That's our foundation. And that's what we're going to build on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 19 says in the same chapter 15, if in this world only we have hope, we are all, like all men, most miserable. If in this world we have hope, hope is only in this world, life would not make it any sense, like Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says. Life would have no meaning because you're going to eat, you go drink, you go to work and sweat, and the next day you do the same thing over and over again and you die, and that's the end of it. Would you enjoy living? Life would make no sense. Hence the reason why I said, if only in this world you have hope, you was like all men, most miserable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But listen to what verse 57 says. Verse 57 says, but thank be unto God who given us the victory in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Are you awake? He said, but thanks be unto God who given us the victory in Christ Jesus. It's all about him, all about Jesus Christ, not about us. So my brethren, my fellow men, I'm saying to you, have faith. Jesus himself is the one who established the church. Jesus himself who is the foundation of the church. The church which we call in the Greek word the ecclesia. We is the colored one from every nation who served the Lord Jesus Christ, who acclaim him as Savior. And Jesus said himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen? And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church of Christ. Jesus is the founder and the builder of his church. Jesus will protect his church, and he promised to return for his church. Am I getting home, friends? I said, Jesus promised to return for his church. The church is the largest organization in the world today. The church is larger than the population in China. It's larger than the population in India. The church is larger than the population in North and South America. No one enter heaven if you are not part of his church. I'm saying it again. No one can enter heaven if you are not part of his church. I didn't hear amen. You don't believe that? I say no one can enter heaven if you are not part of his church. Jesus said, I am the door, and if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and come in and out and find green pastures. Jesus promised to come back for his church, which is his beloved bride. Amen? You're not excited. Jesus promised to come back for his church, which is his beloved bride. You're not ready to go. You're sounding like you want to stay here. You're sounding like you want to stay here. My friend, he promised to come back for his church, his beloved bride. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Did you get it? I go on to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Are you ready to go? My question to you, are you part of this church? Are you part of the church of Jesus Christ? If not, why not? That's my question to you. My friend, the next prophetic event to occur is the rapture of the church. I'm saying it again. The next prophetic event to occur is the rapture of the church. Church, we are not looking for signs and wonders. We are not looking for the mark of the beast, as some believe. We are not looking for the Antichrist. We are looking for Jesus Christ. Amen? I say we are looking for the Jesus Christ. We are looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearance of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we are looking for. Amen? That's what we are looking for. We are looking for the Lord himself to return from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That's what we are looking for. Amen? I said that's what we are looking for. Church, I'm saying it's time. Let us look up. Let us look up. Wake up. Look up. Shake up. The Lord is near. Redemption is right now. I say victory at hand. The city of God awaits us over there. What a glorious day that would be when the Lord shall come. It will be a glorious day when the Lord shall come. Are you part of the church? If not, my question to you, why not? Why not? Why not? In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, eyes have not seen, neither ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has done to prepare for those that love him. Do you love him? Are you part of the church? If not, why not? Why not? I think time is almost up. I just want to share a closing hymn with you from 106. And listen to the word. Listen to the word. It may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight to darkness and shadows are breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. Are you part of the church? If not, why not? The next verse said, it may be at midnight, it may be at twilight, it may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of his glory when Jesus receives his own. Are you part of the church? If not, why not? O joy, O delight, shall we go without dying? No sickness, no sadness, no dread, no crying. Caught up to the cloud with the Lord in glory when Jesus receives his own. Are you part of the church? My question is to you this morning. Whether you are on Zoom and telephone, wherever you are you part of this of the church of Christ? If not, why not? Amen.